الله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين واللانة الدائمة الباقية لأعدائهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني. صلوات بردك بره. We have been looking at a brief review of Dua Iftitah, which is commonly recited all over the Shia communities during the month of Ramadan. This is a dua, as I mentioned in the first night, has come from the Imam of our time, Hujjat ibn al-Hasan, salawatullah alayhi. Just to give you the idea that, you know, what you are reciting, just think about it, ponder on it, so that the dua becomes more meaningful. I have divided this dua into seven parts. We covered the introduction, which is the beginning where we say, Aftatihu sana bihamdik, where I'm starting, you know, to recite the praise of Allah, because you allowed me to do that. And then we came to five praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last night we looked at the issue of singling out one phrase from the five praises, that why is there delay in the du'as sometimes that we do. And we concentrated on that theme last night because it is something which is there in mind of many, many people. Not many would ask about it, but this is always there, that, you know, I have been praying for so long and the response has not been. So tonight, inshallah, we'll go to the fourth segment, which is 12 praises, 12 hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned, hamd is actually a very comprehensive way of praising Allah, which means that somebody who is free from any deficiency, imperfection, or impurity. And it's very interesting that, you know, I was counting it, that this is the dua from the 12th Imam, and then in this section you have 12 praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wouldn't be able to, you know, go into commentary of all the 12, you know, praises, but I'll select two of them for tonight and we'll continue the rest tomorrow, inshallah. This is the section which begins with the words, Alhamdulillahi Malik al-Mulk, Mujri al-Fulk, Musakhir al-Riha, Faliq al-Isbad, Dayyan al-Din, Rabb al-Alameen. Where you are, and again you'll see we are not even reached to the dua actually. We are not yet asking him. The Imam is again and again saying, go back and praise him. You know, create that closeness, you know, so that based on the ma'rifat that you have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then, you know, put your plea. And so here, you know, all praises for Allah, Malik al-Mulk, master of the kingdom, Mujri al-Fulk, he makes the ships sail in the oceans, Musakhir al-Riyah, he is the one who controls the winds, Faliq al-Isbah, causes the daybreak to come, the dawn time, Dayyan al-Din, he is the judge, Dayyan of the Deen. Deen here means the Maliki Yawm al-Din, the day of judgment. Actually, the proper translation would be something else here. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Deen here is from, you know, in Urdu we say, or even Gujarati, len den. It is an issue of compensation. We are selling our good deeds. Allah is going to pay us for that with reward, inshallah. And if we sell our evil deeds, of course, we'll get the azab on the other side. So it's a day of deal between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رب العالمين, He is the Lord of the universe. So it begins with the words Malik al-Mulk, King of the kingdom, and the Lord of the universe. And this is where, you know, it's a praises for Allah's power, His majesty, and His greatness. And then the next one, I think, is more important. That's where I would like to spend some time. Alhamdulillah. And there are three hamd in this second part that we are discussing. Alhamdulillah ala hilmihi ba'da ilmihi. Walhamdulillah ala afwihi ba'da qudratihi. Walhamdulillah ala tuli anatihi fi ghadabihi. وَهُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَى مَا يُرِيدٌ. Three, praises of Allah. Number one, all praises for Allah for His patience. حِلْمِهِ بَعْدَ إِلْمِهِ. In spite of His knowledge about us. He knows we are doing wrong, but He doesn't immediately punish us. And that's His حِلْم. Then the second is walhamdulillah ala afwihi ba'da qudratihi. All praise is for Allah for His forgiveness in spite of His qudrat and ability to punish us. It's not that He is not capable of punishing. He can punish us. Yet He says, okay, I'll forgive you. So the second hamd is on His afw and maghfira. Walhamdulillah ala tuli anatihi fi ghadabihi. All praises for Allah for His lengthy respite that He gives to us, even though He's angry with us. You know, He still says, okay, let us, prolong this rope around His neck. Maybe He will come around. And may Allah not bring that day when we take it for granted, when He is going to pull, it's going to be very hard. You know, the way it happened to Pharaoh. Or the way it happened to Yazid. Or the way it happened even to the tyrant rulers of our time. You know, Marcos of Philippines. Some of these dictators in South America. The Shah of Iran. Hosni Mubarak. Look what happened to Gaddafi of our own time. So you look at the past and the present, they were all thinking, oh, we are here. We are Rabbul Alameen. Nobody can touch us. And Allah lets them, more chance until when He comes back with His retribution, it is very severe. And so this element of lengthy respite He gives despite His anger, though He has power to do as He wills. And so this is where we have to realize that, three things here. And combining these three things on a human level is very difficult. Knowledge about somebody, what he or she is doing to you, and still maintaining patience. Somebody comes to you and you know very well he always backbites you. But when he comes in the front, oh, salam alaikum, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. And because words go around, even though you have the knowledge, you don't respond. And that is actually the sign of hilm, that patience and forbearance. And it's not easy. For human beings, it's not easy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know what you do, yet I'm being patient with you. Forgiveness with the ability to punish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I see you have done something wrong. I can punish you. Yet I restrain my anger there and I forgive you. And then even this issue of giving time, respite. We are told sometimes in the hadith of the imams, that if you keep doing sins one after another, and still you think, oh, things are still good for me, you start thinking, oh, Allah is happy with me. No, that's very dangerous. If you realize you're committing sins and everything is still good, then better open your eyes. You know, he's giving you this lengthy respite. But when he pulls the rope, it is going to be very severe. And that's where, you know, when we look at these opposites, knowing that the person is committing sin, still Allah is being patient and forbearing. Forgiving, although he has the ability to punish, and giving respite, even though he's angry and has the ability to punish. And this is where we have to realize this, you know, mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there is an ayat in Surah number 16, ayat 61, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ يُؤَخَذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسِ بِظُلْمِهِمْ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to punish the people immediately for their transgressions, مَا تَرَكَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ, he would not leave a single human being on the earth. Everybody will be killed, will be punished. And this is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he knows, yet he restrains. وَلَكَنْ يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَرٍ مُسَمَّى. Allah says, I fixed a lifespan for him, and I'll let him live till that time. And so this is again, you know, a very important dimension of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to add one more point on this, last year when we talked about the concept of tawbah in the first 6 days of the month of Ramadan, we looked at the story of, you know, shaitan becoming a challenge for Adam alayhi salam, and so, and because he's a jinn, you know, he has somehow, you know, power over the human beings. And so Adam alayhi salam, you know, after all, he's our father, you know, he feels for us. So he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you impose shaitan on me and my descendants. What are you giving to me, you know, in return? And there were 6 things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Adam and his children, which is me and you. Number one, he says, if anyone from you or your children does the intention of evil, that will not even be recorded. Just having the intention to do something sinful, Allah says, I'm not going to punish you for the intention. But then if you implement that intention and do it, then what? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you commit one sin, I will put that as a one sin. The punishment will be equal there. But even there are hadiths where we are told that the malaika who record our deeds, they are told, you know, for 7 hours after committing the sin, the malaika are told, stop. Don't record it. Maybe in the next namaz, he will do istighfar, and repent, and ask for forgiveness. And if somebody, you know, asks for forgiveness for that sin he has done within those hours, then that's also forgiven. It's not even recorded at all. But if by next time of namaz, it is not, you know, the tawbah and istighfar is not done for that sin, then it will be recorded as one sin against one, you know, adhan. The opposite of that, Allah says, number 4 to Adam, whoever comes with good deeds, that will be written 10 times. For sin, it's one. But one good deed, the reward would be 10 times. There is an ayat of Quran about it. And then number 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if this sinner, the evildoer, repents later on, Allah says, if sincerity is there, I'm going to forgive him. And number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the door of tawbah is open till the last moment. Last moment means before death, not when the azab is already there, like in the case of Fir'aun. There's a difference in the last moment where azab is there and the last moment for death. Even there, the issue of tawbah is still there. Salawat. The next phrase in those 12 praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamdulillahi khaliq al-khalq, basit al-rizq, faliq al-isbah, zal jalali wa ikrami wa al-fadl wa al-an'am. All praises for Allah, the creator of the entire creation, the provider of sustenance, the cleaver of the dawn, the one who brings about the dawn. Zil jalali wal ikrami wal fadli wal in'am, the possessor of glory, honor, grace, and bounties. In this last statement, zil jalali wal ikrami wal fadli wal in'am, this is talking about his power as well as his grace and bounties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives more than what we need. And he gives even us before we ask him, or even without asking. And that's the meaning of, dhul fadli wal in'am. And after that, الَّذِي بَعُدَ فَلَا يُرَى وَقَرُبَ فَشَهِدَ النَّجْوَى تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. And that he is the one who is in a way so far that we cannot see him. Yet he is so near that he can witness our whispers. Not even that, he even knows what we think. And so this is one way of showing his overwhelming presence in the universe. Salawat Malik Parol. So from this praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me focus on one. Alhamdulillah, khaliq al-khalq wa basit al-rizq. Basit al-rizq means somebody who spreads the sustenance. The simple translation would be that the one who provides the sustenance, but basit is more basitul yad, who spreads the bounties and the blessings around the world. And this is for each and every creation in the universe. From the inanimate things to the vegetations, to the animals, to the human beings. There is nothing in the universe which is not being provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their own ways. There are ayats about it. I'll just give you one ayat from Surah number 11, ayat 6. Ma min dabbatin fil ard, referring to living things, that there is no creature. Dabb actually is something which crawls or walks on the earth. There is no creation on the earth, but its provision, illa ala Allahi rizqa. Its risk and sustenance is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah knows about everyone and everything, where it's lodging and where is it's stays or puts its provision. Allah provides all creatures according to their needs. And this is where, there are so many discussions about it, but I would not hesitate in sharing the story that I saw from Qisas al-Anbiya, the stories of the Anbiya. Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, you know him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him special powers. He could control the wind, he could control the clouds, he had army of jinn under his control, and many, many things where, he had this ability to talk to the animals. The story of, his conversation with the ant is there in Surah An-Naml. And so it's already there, and according to our belief, it's not surprising. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him that ability, even to communicate with the animals, to ants especially. There is one story that one day Sulaiman was sitting by the sea, or a lake, or and he saw an ant coming with a grain, gradually moving towards the water. And he was surprised. If the ant goes very close, it'll die. Then all of a sudden, he saw a frog coming out of the water. And they come close to one another. And Suleiman is even more surprised. There'll be an accident now. No, the frog actually opens its mouth. And the ant went in with the grain. It closed the mouth, goes back into the water, and now Suleiman is even more surprised. After a time, he saw the frog come back to the shores, open its mouth, the ant came out. But this time, the ant was alone. The grain was missing. Now, Suleiman, he can talk to the Naml. So he sat down and says, you know, what's your story? What is going on here? And this is where now the ant says to Suleiman, deep in this sea, there is a cave. A cave where the water has not penetrated fully. There is an area which is dry inside. And there is an insect in there. And that cave is such that there is no vegetation there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered me and the frog, once in a while, depending on, you know, how much is the supply and how much that insect needs. You know, I bring the grain here, the frog comes, I go in his mouth, and he closes it so that I, you know, I'm not drawn by the water. And he will take me, it's like a submarine, in the cave, in the dry area. Then he opens the mouth, I go out, and the insect comes forward, and I leave that grain for that insect. Salawat padhne ek baar aur. Now, Suleiman, knowing the language of the birds or the animals, he said, tell me that insect in the depth of that water in the cave, what does it say when you leave the grain? He says, oh Allah, oh the one who never even forgets me in the depth of this cave in the water. Oh Allah, don't forget those who believe in you from the mu'minin and mu'minat. Salawat pranak parah. And so when we talk about Alhamdulillah, Khaliq al-Khaliq wa Basit al-Rizq, somebody who spreads the sustenance, you know, so this is a story of the past. Let me give you something tangible if you want to see. You know, in Egypt, probably by the Nile River, there are many crocodiles. And probably you can see the picture on the screen there. You look at the bottom picture. This is a real camera picture. The one before that is actually a drawing from a scientific textbook of about centuries back by a Muslim scientist. It's just to show that, you know, we had a glorious time in the past. We have lost it. You know, there are scientists who used to observe this thing and write about things. But anyway, the story about this crocodile is that these crocodiles in that area, you know, we go to the dentist, isn't it? For what? We eat, but then our teeth needs to be cleaned. Although we clean it ourselves, brushing it, yet we have to go from time and again for a, you know, deep cleaning, as they call it. Crocodile also has the same problem as us. How is it solved? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually appointed the Egyptian bird known as Egyptian plover to be the dentist for the crocodile. not just a dentist. The food of this bird is actually in the teeth of the crocodile. The amazing thing is that I don't know how they communicate. All the crocodiles know when the plover comes, they will open their mouth. The bird also knows it's not going to eat me. The bird goes, cleans the teeth of the crocodile in between whatever is there. That's their food, their risk, basital risk. And the crocodile is also very happy when the dentist flies away. And this is what we have to realize, that we do not even know when we talk about this element of Allah being basital risk. You know, He does not forget anyone. When we were in the womb of our mothers, the mothers didn't cook anything for us. Look at the elements that He uses in the body. It's basically the blood. You know, and then, you know, how it transforms and changes into nutrition for the baby in the womb through this connection. And then when we are born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates this milk. The timing is also all automatic. Just as this flower bird and the crocodile, you know, nobody teaches them anything. In Namaz Eid, we recite, Sabba isma rabbika al-ala alladhi khalaqa fasawwa. All praise belong to Allah, the one who created and perfected everything. And then we say, you know, alladhi qaddara fahada. And then He has determined and fixed this sustenance for every creature, fahada, and He has guided. The animals also have that system of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this flower and the crocodile, they still have this communication, they know about it. A child is born, nobody teaches the child, you know, how to drink the milk. It's very natural instinct. And so this is where we have to realize, and it's there, the same milk, which becomes the initial nutrition. It's the same one, you know, liquid, but it develops different parts of the baby's body. It's not only just targeting one part. And this is where we have to realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He indeed is basit al-rizq. He is the one who spreads the sustenance in the universe. But let me end with one close here, because a lot of questions would be, oh Allah, you know, Maulana, where is my rizq? Amir al-Mu'mineen is one of his letters, which I quoted, I think, yesterday. Says to his son, remember there are two types of sustenance. There is a sustenance which seeks you, comes to you, whether you go after it or not. And then there is another sustenance which Allah has reserved for you, but you have to go and seek that. And that's why we are told that, yes, He is basitul rizq, but you will have to go and seek. And your prayer should be that, oh Allah, let me know where you have placed my sustenance. The dua that you recite after Isha, Allahumma laysa li ilmun bimawdi'i rizqi. Oh Allah, I don't know where you have placed my rizq. And so that is the rizq and sustenance where Allah says, I have for you, but I would like you to be active also. And so there are things that He gives without we asking. As I said, you know, in the beginning of our creation, what happens? We didn't ask for anything, but He provides. It comes to us. But then on the other side, there is a portion of the risk which you have to go and seek. And for that, you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, give me the direction. Help me that I go and put my effort and time and my hard work in the direction where you have placed my sustenance and my risk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our ibadat, give us more tawfiqat, and may he hasten the appearance of the Imam of our time, ajalallahu ta'ala faraj sharif. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.